And thanks again to everyone that's read. Helped us open the meeting. I love the readings. They kind of make me realise I'm in a meeting. Take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started, from far and wide. Particular welcome to any visitors this evening, and a huge welcome if there's anyone new to NA or coming back for the first time for a while. We're glad you're here. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. And it does fall on me tonight to introduce our speaker. I don't know much about this person, I have to be honest, other than the fact that they've recently found our meetings. I've enjoyed so far what they've had to share. We share a clean year. Class of 92 rocks is all I'm going to say. This person celebrated a milestone fairly recently. I'll leave her to share that with you if she so chooses. She's going to share 40 or 45 minutes of experience, strength and hope, the journey into and through Narcotics Anonymous. So Jeannie, without any further from me, please share with us. The floor is yours. Welcome.
Hi, family. My name is Jeannie B, and I am a grateful recovering addict.
Hello, hi, Jeannie. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. My clean date is November the 25th, 1992. I am so very, very glad to be here at this Blue Jeans meeting. Last week, this time was the first time I had ever made a Blue Jeans meeting. And I am so grateful that my higher power allowed me to follow his guidance, her guidance, its guidance, and to bring me here, because I really enjoy the meetings that I've attended so far on this platform. I am so grateful to be a part of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I am so grateful to be a part of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because the program of Narcotics Anonymous literally saved my life. I came to this program when I was 41 years old. And at 41, I did not know how to live life on life's terms. At 34, I made the decision to stop using. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I did not know what to do. So I simply changed everything about me, because I wanted to shred that old genie and I wanted to put on a new genie. But I didn't know how to put on a new genie, but I did know how to shred the old genie. So the high heels that I used to wear, I threw them all away. The tight pants I used to wear, I threw them all away. The gold jewelry I used to wear, I threw it all away. My daughter said, "Mommy, please, don't throw the jewelry away. Don't throw the gold away." I said, "Baby, I'm sorry. It's got to go." Because one of the things I came to understand is that when I put on the old me, them old feelings came back. So I had to put away those old feelings by putting away the old materialistic things that represented those feelings. And it worked. So from 34 to 41, I simply existed because I did not know how to change Jeannie. All I knew is how to stop. So I said, "Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, that's nice. Wow. Did you really? That's interesting." And that's the way I led my life for 7 years, because I was afraid to do the things that my thinking was telling me, or what my thinking had taught me that it was okay to do, because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the way that I was taught was not the correct way. I knew that because out of 34 years then, out of trial and error, I knew that the way I was taught didn't work. But I didn't have anybody else to teach me a new way, so I simply just existed. I went to work, I came home, I cooked dinner, I cleaned up, helped my daughter with her homework, went to an organization, turned around, came home, went to bed, started the next day the same exact way. One of the things that happened to me when I made the decision at my organization, I went to hear a person speak. And the person, I don't know if the person was in Narcotics Anonymous, I don't know what the person was in, but all I heard was, if you turn your will and your life over to your God, that's what he called it, I say higher power, I guarantee you that everything will be all right. And that touched my spirit. So what I did was I went outside and I sat in my car. I lifted up my hands. I looked up to the roof of the car and I said, okay, I'm turning my will over to you. Now tell me what you want me to do. I opened my eyes and I looked, and people in the parking lot were looking at me because I had double parked. And I said, oh, okay, you want me to move my car so these people could get out. I pulled out of the driveway. I pulled over on the street and I said, okay, now what do you want me to do? And my spirit said to me, all right, it's late at night. You're a young lady out here by yourself, so you need to go home. And I said, home? I was like, oh my goodness gracious. That place I'm staying is not my home. I had been living with this guy for over a year, and we were at the place where we were sleeping in separate rooms. So I knew that that wasn't my home. So I said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to find a place. And lo and behold, to make the long story short, I bought a newspaper. I looked in the newspaper, and the same place that I had left to begin that journey was in the newspaper. And I called. And the owner answered, and they said, is this my genie? And I said, yes. And they said, well, the apartment is yours. If you want it, just take this amount of money and da 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 da. And that's how I began my journey of change. From, I didn't know what to change to, but I knew what to change from. So for 7 years, that's what I did. I changed from. And one day I woke up, and it was my birthday, September 21st, and it was 1992. And I did what I had always done, because I didn't know that I needed to change people, places, and things. I knew I needed to change the things, but I didn't know I needed to change the people and the places. So every chance I got, I went back to this group of people that I have been hanging out with since I was 21 years old. And I would go and I would sit and I would laugh and just smile and drink orange juice and spend $30 drinking a glasses of orange juice. Knowing that I could have went to the supermarket and bought a quart for $2.99. But that's what I did, because I did not know what else to do. And to me, these was my friends. This was my family. So I didn't know anything else to do. And so I was sitting there and I had prayed that morning. I was like, look, higher power, you told me that if I turned my will and my life over to you, that everything was going to be all right. So why am I still in this same place? I'm not doing the same things because I stopped all of that. But I'm still here. You told me everything was going to be all right. And if I'm still here, afraid to live, everything ain't all right. But I went anyway, and I sat there. And an old friend came in, and an old friend came in and said, I'm 41 now. And the old friend said, oh, Jeannie, hi, how you doing? I said, great. He said, you know, I don't be in places like this anymore. Can we go someplace else to celebrate your birthday? I was like, sure. He said, oh, took me to a diner, this restaurant diner. And he was talking. And I was amazed by the way he was talking. How's your wife? Oh, live and let live. I had to let go and let God. Your kids, oh, but for the grace of God, I have to just try to accept them for who they are and what. And after all of that talk, I was like, excuse me. You may think this is a stupid question, but could you please tell me where you learned how to talk like that? And he said, I go to these rooms. Rooms? Mean to tell me there's a room full of people that talk like that? He said, yes. And I said, well, can I go to these rooms? He said, yes. So I came to open meetings for 2 months. And I joined Naranon. And for the life of me, whenever we were in the meeting, the Naranon meeting, I would say, I think I need to be on the other side. Because I would be in the Naranon meeting and he would be in the NA meeting. It was in the same building. And I would say, I think I need to be on the other side. But I would just sit there and I would listen. And finally, one day I said to him, my problem was, even though I was coming early and staying late at open meetings and reading the preambles and being a greeter, hugging people, I still was misinformed about what I was reading. So when I read the tradition that said the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using, my distorted thinking, my misinformation, and my character defects of distorted honesty and distorted perfection, based on that misinformation, I thought that I couldn't join the program because I didn't come out of a detox or I didn't come off the streets like I heard everybody else share. So I thought I would be sneaking in the back door, I would not be practicing honesty, and I would be living a lie. And that was the lie. Because the desire was there not to use, because I wasn't using. But I didn't understand that. So I joked with my friend one day. I said, you know what? I would use just so I could get this program. And we laughed. But lo and behold, I was already learning, be careful what you ask for. But just as it is, sometimes you'll slip back into that old way of thinking if you're not aware of how your thinking should be. So, lo and behold, I backed myself up in the corner and I didn't come out clean. I used. And when I woke up in the morning, after the cloud raised and he was questioning me, where's your car? Where's your keys? I didn't know who took my clothes off. I didn't know how I got in the bed. I didn't know anything. I didn't know who brought me home. I didn't know anything. And after he found out all of that, he said he had to go take my clothes and put them in the cleaners because I had puked all over myself. After that, I said, wow, I could join that program now. And I've been coming ever since. That's how I got into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. When I came in, I knew that I wanted what you had. And you told me, if I want what you have, I have to do what you say do. So I came in, y'all told me to take the cotton out of my ears and put it in my mouth. I said, okay. You told me to listen to learn and learn to listen. I said, okay. Y'all said, if you want what we have, you have to do what we do. I said, okay. And there was a saying when I came around that if they would have told me to go in the corner and stand on my head, I would have done that too. And I adopted that. Because if they told me to go stand in the corner on my head, I was going to do that too, because I understood that long as I was up against the wall was going to hold me. All I could hear was change, change, change. All I could read was talking about change, change, change. So I thought that I needed to change everything about me, even the things that I had adopted that was good for me. I had stopped smoking. But I heard change as a newcomer, so I thought I needed to start smoking again. It was so strong that I put so many holes in the cigarette that I couldn't even draw on it because the smoke wouldn't come through. And I said, well, that won't work. And then there were other things I thought that I needed to do. So eventually, I started doing some of those other things. Because I had been celibate for 7 years, I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to start doing something because I need to change. And somebody said to me that, oh, just because you celibate, you might think you better than somebody else. And my MO was always to show people that I didn't think I was better than you. So I started doing that too. And after enough of that, I was like, no, that's not what I want to do either. Because one of the things that I learned in my process was, Jeannie, you have to set some boundaries. You have to come to understand what it is that you want. And those are the things that you need to do. And one of the things that I didn't understand was that I had assets as well as liabilities. But I didn't know that. I thought I had to change everything. So eventually, I bought some more pants. Eventually, I bought another gold chain and a gold set of earrings because I felt like I needed to change. And the gift of that was I didn't feel the same way when I put on that gold that I felt 7 years earlier because I had changed. And the meaning that went with those pants and that gold had changed. In 85, I even changed the way that I walked. Because I thought a woman was supposed to have a sexy walk. So I walked like a model. So I stopped walking like a model and I started walking like a duck. Because that's how badly I wanted to change. I was looking at my sixth step today, and the sixth step said that when you get to the sixth step, you need to have a desire that is so strong that you're willing to do whatever it takes to change. And that is where I was at, and I didn't even know it. Because I also learned in the literature said that long before you write on these steps, you could be practicing them. And I was, and I didn't know it. So I continued to come, and y'all told me, show up to grow up. So that's what I did. I began slowly but surely to grow up. And I am so grateful that I came to understand that I could not leave before the miracle happened, and that the miracles don't stop happening until I'm dead. So I ain't going nowhere as long as I'm in my right mind, because I came to understand that I have two minds. One I love and one I hate. But the one I feed will dominate. So I feed my spirit with Narcotics Anonymous because that is the spirit that I want to live inside of me. I can always pick up that insanity spirit if I want to. All I got to do is stop picking up the spiritual stuff of Narcotics Anonymous. And y'all told me I never stand still. So if I'm not working towards my recovery, you told me I was working towards a relapse. And the relapse starts in the mind. So I try to stay in the center of Narcotics Anonymous. Because Narcotics Anonymous told me that if I stay in the center, I won't be on the edge getting ready to fall off. So I stay in the center. And I am so grateful for that. Look, y'all told me, you said, a grateful addict will not use. So I need to stay in a posture of gratitude. You told me that when I care and share the NA way, that also shows my gratitude. You told me that I have experienced strength and hope, and that's all that I have. It was given to me. You all didn't give it to me, and you all can take it away. You can enhance it. Because y'all told me, you said, have people in your life that's going to enhance you, not those that are going to destroy you. So you enhance me so that I can mature, I can grow up, so that I can practice the principles of Narcotics Anonymous, because the Living Clean book told me that the program of Narcotics Anonymous is my laboratory. It's the laboratory where I come to practice the new way of life that I have learned about living. So I try patience, tolerance, and understanding with you, and then I could take it outside and practice it in other areas of my life. So you enhance me. And I understand that if I leave you, I'm going to leave. The program told me that Narcotics Anonymous spiritual principles is like the air that I breathe. So if I leave you, I'm not going to be able to breathe. I'm going to asphyxiate myself and cause my own destruction. And I choose not to do that anymore, because once again, that is going insane. And I choose not to go insane today. I want to stay in my sanity, the little bit that I have. I understand that if I stay in a posture of not wanting to hurt myself or to hurt anyone else, by omission or commission, that I am going to be all right. And so will you be all right in your dealings with me, because I have come to understand the unity that needs to be had in order for us to remain recovering. And I came to understand that the ties that bind us together must be stronger than those that will tear us apart. I understand that I have to put the principles of the program of Narcotics Anonymous before my personality, because my personality can be self-centered. And this is a we program. So I'm learning more today how to put the spiritual principles before my personality. When I came on the virtual platform, that is when I began to incorporate the spiritual principles in my life. The spiritual principles went from my head to my heart, because I understood that my primary purpose was to help another addict. What? Yes, Jeannie, if you look back over your time in this program, they told you that where you see your feet, that's where you belong. Is your feet still here? Yes. So this is where you belong. And since you belong here, guess what? Introduction, basic text. Your primary purpose is to help another addict. What? You mean to tell me that that is my life's journey, to help another addict? Yes, Jean, you know why? Primarily is because you are one. And when you help another addict, guess what, Jeannie? You helping yourself. What? Yes, Jeannie. You are helping yourself, which should always be your primary purpose. So you mean to tell me that I went through all of my life's processes so that I could be here, joyous, happy, and free, and then help somebody else to be joyous, happy, and free? Yes, Jeannie, that is exactly why you are joyous, happy, and free. Because you are willing to keep what you have by giving it away. You got to be kidding me. You talking about being for real, for real? This is how it works? Yes, Jeannie. This is exactly how it works. This is exactly how it's working. And this is exactly how it's going to work as long as you working. When that spiritual awakening came, I was so happy. I was so happy, so joyful, so serene, because I was enjoying where I was at. I was enjoying being in the virtual platform. I was enjoying making 35 meetings a week. I was enjoying it. World sent out a survey. They said, are you making virtual meetings? I said, yes. They said, how many meetings are you making? And I started counting the meetings. I was like, what? I'm making 35. You got to be kidding me. I would start 7 o'clock in the morning and I didn't end until I went to the 10 o'clock meeting that night. That's right. And I was enjoying it. Until enough was enough. And my higher power said, Jeannie, you got to learn to have a balance. So there are some things you need to do. You need to start doing some preparation for your going home services. I had been putting it off and putting it off. I told my daughter I was going to put down all the information of what she needed to do and where she needed to go and where everything was situated, and I had not done it. So my higher power said, yes, Jeannie, that's one thing you need to start doing. You know what another thing you need to start doing? You need to start clearing out some of this stuff you got in here. I got bookshelves and bookshelves and bookshelves full of books that I'm not even using anymore. So I started packing up the books. So now I can't make those many meetings a week anymore. But I'm doing something else in my life that needs to be done. So I was able to find a balance. Where I am now, what this morning has showed me is that I need to start finding a balance in sharing. I woke up this morning, and for the life of me, I had put in my calendar that I was sharing at 11:30 meeting. And then I had this 1 o'clock meeting on my calendar. And then I had an 8 o'clock meeting on my calendar all to speak at. I was like, what? How did I do this? And when I went to the 11:30, I found out that I wasn't the speaker. So I went and checked, and I was the 1 o'clock speaker. And I was like, okay. So I was grateful because then I was able to leave that meeting that I wasn't going to be the speaker at, continue driving. And then attend the organization that I needed to attend that program and come in here at 1 o'clock my time and speak. So now I see another area where I need to get a balance in. Because Narcotics Anonymous said to me, Jeannie, you gotta be balanced. So that is what I am trying to do. Get a balance in my life, in all areas. I went yesterday and went to court with my niece, so I spent some time with family. When I leave here today, I got to pick up my daughter, and I will spend some time with her, getting a balance in family. Narcotics Anonymous gave me what I was missing, the key to living life on life's terms and not on Jeannie's terms. Because what I came to understand, I was looking at my sixth step, because I got to share on the 25th on the sixth step. So I was looking at my sixth step this morning because I thought I had that speaking engagement today. And what the sixth step told me to do when I was looking at it was to go back, because I had looked at it earlier this week, to go back to my fourth step. And the engagement that I had today, he changed it to the 25th, but I was still thinking it was today. So when I went back to my fourth step, what it said to me in my spirit was that my liabilities were my character defects. It said to me that my assets were must come out of my spiritual principles. What it said to me is that my defects were feelings. Because I looked at the feel wheel and the light bulb went off. And it's like, Jeannie, those liabilities are feelings. And then it took me back to what you taught me. You said, what I think governs what I feel. And what I feel governs what I do. And what I do governs my consequences. So all of that character defective thinking kept me insane. And I did insane things. So Narcotics Anonymous introduced me to the spiritual principles, which governs my assets. So if I have some acceptance, I'm going to love you for where you're at. Unconditional love. If I have some tolerance and patience, I'm going to be there for you, whether you're where I want you to be or not. If I have some understanding about the process that we're in, if you have not changed the way I think you should be changing, I could be there for you anyway. Because the spiritual principles, they do, Jeannie. Because once again, my thinking, I'm thinking spiritual principle now. Obey the policy of this group. So I got 3 more minutes. So that means when my 3 minutes is up, what I'm going to do is say, thank you. Because my spiritual principles cause me to do right. But if I'm being self-centered, well, I ain't finished talking. So when the 3 minutes come, I'm going to try to stretch it out to 5. Because my thinking, self-centeredness, wasn't what I want when I want it by any means necessary. That's going to cause me to feel good, feel powerful, what I thought was good. And then it's going to cause me to disrespect your policy. But if I think spiritually, the ties that bind us together need to be stronger than those that will tear us apart. So I'm going to respect the group's policy, and I'm going to end in 2 minutes now. That's what I'm going to do, because I'm following a spiritual principle. And that's what Narcotics Anonymous did for me in 40 minutes. I didn't give you the birth story. I gave you the birth of Narcotics Anonymous in my life story, because that's what you asked me to do. So again, I'm respecting the group's autonomy. And that makes me feel good. Because what I've come to understand, when I accept the self-centeredness and disrespect the group's policy, afterwards, I feel bad. Shame, guilt, and remorse. But if I respect the group's policy and I end my sharing on time, I got 1 more minute. Then I feel good.
So what do I want? Do I want the shame, the guilt, and the remorse, or do I want the joy, the happiness, and the freedom? I want the joy, the happiness, and the freedom. So I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to participate in my recovery. I thank you so much for allowing me to once again see how this program is working in my life. Because even though I'm working it long before I write on it, or I even come to understand it, now I can see where I have changed and where I am continuing to change. So with that, my 40 minutes is up. I know you said 40 to 45 now, but I said 40. So I am going to stop at 40. I thank you. I love you all with an everlasting, unconditional love. And I'm so grateful for that. And I have to remember that there isn't anything that you can do about it. I am the only one that can change that unconditional, everlasting love. And that means I have to stay centered in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, exhuming service, best exemplified in goodwill, spiritual principles, so that my pyramid can be high to a point of being wholly free and freely whole. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope I brought you a clear Narcotics Anonymous message.